This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so it's 13th of January 2016, and we have Edwin, Mats, Dennis, Vail, and Ram on the call. This is Sarmad, and over to you, Mats, Vail, and Edwin. Let's, I guess, get the meeting started.
Okay, this is Matt. We last meeting was 4 weeks ago before the vacations or holidays. So we last time we had a discussion about variants. Do we have anything else that on variants? I don't think that we had the bullet E on TMCH. I don't think that we ever discussed that. Is that something for IDN, this IDN document to consider, in your opinion? Edwin.
Yeah, this is Edwin. First of all, sorry for missing the call last time. And I guess the on TMCH, my feeling is that this is probably not a good place to specifically single out TMCH. Perhaps on the topic is, you know, if there is any thing we should A, is probably that all the systems should be coherent with the IDN policies and including variants. I'm trying to formulate what exactly to say there, as you can see. But I think the point is perhaps that, which is related slightly to universal acceptance, but that when ICANN and the root and the registries and TLDs are providing IDNs and also with variants, then all these peripheral services that ICANN procures, including TMCH, should be aware of that, and those systems should be coherent with, if there are variants, if there are IDNs, coherent with the policies that is related to the IDN. So I'm trying to think exactly what to say, but I think along that thread might be useful.
I'm not sure how the variants are related to TMCH requirements.
Allow me to jump in right here. So just to clarify the issue, perhaps one of the things that because of the variants, that the TMCH when it checks for a domain name, whether it's related to a mark string, it will need to be aware that if the trademark is in a particular language or in an IDN form, it needs to realize that to kind of fan out, fork out, if you will, all the variants to do the search. And also on the reverse, the trademarks claims part, where if somebody's trying to register a trademark name, that a warning goes out, that process needs to also take into consideration variants that are fanned out. So that's the reason why there was a relationship there. And in the current implementation, that is not handled by the GMCH.
So what you say is that the GMCH does not handle variants. Is that what you say?
Yeah, currently the TMCH doesn't handle variants, as I understand it, and it has been an outstanding issue since the launch of TMCH. The question here is whether the IDN guidelines should single out, should add a particular advice for TMCH. But I guess my suggestion is, I don't know what other services there are right now, but I can imagine TMCH has one type of additional services. But we shouldn't, if we are going to add something in the IDN guidelines, then it should be more generic, you know, talking about other services that depend on this, maybe procured by ICANN or registries should be aware of IDNs and IDN variants where appropriate.
Should we suggest synchronized variant rules for different TLDs and services? Otherwise, EMCH might have one implementation of a variant, and the TLDs might have some other. Edmund, what is your thought there?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. We can figure out the right word to use as we develop the document, but some sort of synchronize or you know, harmonize, or using basically the same IDN policy or tables.
Because then I feel that we have taken a dramatic step that kind of requires the TLDs to implement the same variant mechanisms.
Sorry, Edmund, jumping in here. I don't think we are, at least what I meant was not that all the registry needs to use the same implementation, but what I meant was that in any of the additional services ICANN procures or the TLD procures should reflect that particular TLD's policy when it's servicing that particular TLD. So, you know, if there are slightly different policies which are both acceptable by ICANN, you know, between two TLDs, then the TMCH should be required to be able to what, like, let's say there are two different, you know, slightly different LGRs that the two registries implement. The TMCH should be able to take that both of the LGR and respond correspondingly for each of the TLD when the when registrations come in.
Okay, that makes sense. Yes, and this really emphasized the need of LGRs so that it's possible for the TMCH to hear the variant rules without any ambiguity. That is not true today, because often the TLDs define the variants just in writing. instead of formal rules. Okay, should we go to the next major section on similarities, confusability of labels? So, I mean, homographic issues within scripts. How should that be what should the recommendations be there? Any thoughts? Should that be recommended that variant management is used to prevent homographic collides within the script? Edmund, please.
Thank you, Edmund here again. So I'm trying to recall, but I was also trying to dig up the previous version. I believe we probably did not look at it this way as in script or cross script, but rather on the reverse, that homographic issues should be considered. And one of the ways to reduce that is to avoid cross-script registrations. But by splitting it apart, I'm not sure whether it's useful to think of it that way. I think the problem there is, of course, for ASCII registrations, there are still those issues, and if you want, if you argue about the consistency between the two, then it becomes a different type of problem. The I and the L, the one, zero and O, those kind of things. But I think my first reaction is A and B should be lumped together in general, and then we could, you know, probably identify a few things as sub items, and specifically on the which goes to B4 here, which actually is a special case. Is it a special case? I think we always need to realize that is the current case, and as we think about this homographic issues, we shouldn't go all overboard, because I think if you look at the reality out there, I think there were security reports that came back that this is not a big issue, at least at this point. Of course, IDN hasn't really taken off yet, but at least right now that we shouldn't be overly emphasizing this too much. But this is definitely one issue that is important. This is, in fact, the issue that sparked the IDN guidelines in the very first place as well. One of the issues. So my suggestion is to put A and B together, not to try to split up within script and cross script, and talk about this issue in general, and probably not be too prescriptive about it here. Just that it is an important thing, and these are some of the things that needs to be considered.
This is Matt here. If we look at under A, I mean, we still have this division here. The second bullet, this upper to lower case mapping, is that an issue? I'm not sure what is meant there. Is that the possibility of using the uppercase ASCII? And yes,
so
please.
This is just to explain what I guess suggested here was that whether uppercase should also be considered in the context of string similarity discussions, or should that not be considered anymore? So that was really the question there. When we are going to propose something on similarity, normally string similarity is, it could be done in both uppercase and lowercase. But obviously there are arguments that uppercase is not relevant because it's not, it's not relevant in the context of IDNA 2008. The other argument on the other side, of course, is that even though it's not relevant, many applications map uppercase to lowercase, so it still becomes relevant. So I think a clearer guideline on what to do with uppercase could be helpful, but then that's up to the group. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yes, I think that it's quite clear that we have to consider at least uppercase ASCII letters, which are commonly used for domain names, but maybe also uppercase other letters. When it comes to homographic issues within ASCII, my opinion is that we should say that confusion is kind of out of scope. We have already used ASCII for domain names with that risk of confusion, and that level of confusion is acceptable. Do you agree? Edmund.
Edmund here. That may be dangerous. I haven't thought through this exactly yet, but to say that the level of the similarities as experienced in ASCII is acceptable. What does that mean really? And also, different languages and different linguistic backgrounds may require a slightly different approach to it. A person who is not familiar with ASCII, say for example, might find it extremely confusing. But users there, so users that have become more comfortable with it may find it acceptable, and it's over, I guess, many kind of trial and errors, perhaps, to realize that. And one of the things that, if we talk about that, when you think about the everyday experience of getting, let's say, a password that was written by hand, I still have a problem with one L and I, and less with O and zero, because when you put a cross through it, that people have started to do that. But I think for IDNs, we should probably focus, here we should probably focus on IDNs. We should only, my feeling is we should only point to that there is this issue in ASCII as well, and not pass particular judgments to it.
what I meant by accepting is that we should not recommend using mechanisms for similarities between, say, L and capital I, between capital O and zero. That level is acceptable. That's what I meant. I think it's a good idea to mention that this kind of similarity, possibility of confusion is all over the place.
That I can agree with. And, you know, just to point out that there are these situations anyway, I guess my point is not to pass too much judgment and saying, yes, this is, perhaps it was just the word that you used in terms of the bull, and I think we're on the same page with that.
The second issue you raised about prescription, if you have a TLD with the different scripts, it could be that you don't allow a mixture of them. Say that you have a Latin table or just even ASCII, and besides that you have a Cyrillic and a Greek table. Then you will never create any labels with a mixture, but still there's a risk of confusion. And I think that we should say that it's a must to prevent the creation of homographically similar labels between the scripts. What's your opinion? Edmund, please.
Yeah, Edmund here again. We may have to distinguish between two types of issues. One is a TLD allowing different scripts to be registered in the second level, and ones allow multiple scripts within the label. I think multiple scripts within the label is probably slightly more dangerous than allowing multiple scripts or registrations and each label is within the same script. And that might be the key aspect to point out. Although, trying to avoid homographic issues is overall important, and I don't dispute that, but, just on your point about multiple scripts.
Ram, you raised your hand.
I did. Thank you. I think it's a good idea, but however, I mean, one, I kind of agree with what Edmund is saying, but I think the more fundamental issue really is that us saying you must has very little impact on actually enforcing or ensuring that happens in real life. There are really no good mechanisms to assure that happens. At best, ICANN has some nominal control at the top level, second level, maybe with GTLDs. So we can say it's a good practice, or I think it's far better to point out the significant risks that accrue. And therefore, why it's a really bad idea. I just think if you say must, we have to also then find a mechanism to enforce the must. Otherwise, the must just becomes a may.
Well, this is Matt. I don't agree with you. the mechanisms are in the hands of ICANN. They have the agreement with the TLD owner. And here we talk about the TLDs that come with the new TLD, new gTLD program. And they can require, based on the agreement, that the registry follows the rules. If we cannot say it's a must to have mechanisms to prevent some homographic confusion, then we cannot say it's a must to follow the IDN protocol. I think that we can say it's a must that you don't allow strings or labels that start with a dash, for example.
So let me ask you this then, Matt. Are you, if you take the regime that you're proposing, then ICANN is now in the business of scanning every single second level label that is registered and comparing it with some internal set of tables to determine whether the string that is registered violates this must rule or not, and if it violates it, then it holds the registry not in compliance. I think there's a huge enforceability problem there.
Yes, it could be a problem, but that's something for ICANN to consider.
I'm sorry, but I think we are ICANN. I don't think it's actually okay to just abdicate that part of it and say, we'll just make up what we think is right, and then we'll leave it for ICANN to figure out how to implement it. Because I think, you know, we are gathered here and we're part of the implementers community. I can tell you that as a registry operator, I would have a very hard time complying with a rule like that and being able to, it would put a tremendous burden on me as a registry. You know, if you take your model and say, it's ICANN's problem, let them figure it out, ICANN is going to kick the can down the road and say it's the registry's problem. And registries are going to kick the can down the road and say it's the registrar's problem. And I really worry about the enforceability of, kind of rules like these.
Okay. Let me describe the situation for the new gTLDs. Before the new gTLDs are delegated from Root, they go through the so-called pre-delegation testing phase. In the pre-delegation testing phase, things like this are checked. So if the registry accepts labels starting with a dash when trying to register such a string, then they will not pass pre-delegation testing, and they will not be delegated from the root.
Except by the time we implement these guidelines, most of the new gTLDs would have already been in production, delegated, and the only mechanism left, even if there is a TLD that passes pre-delegation testing, today, if you look at it, there is nothing that stops the registry once it's delegated from accepting a domain name that starts with a dash. The only reason it actually doesn't do it is because there's a contract, and ICANN does not actually go and do any compliance on that or testing on that. They just add it to a contract, and then it's up to the registries to conform to the contract. I also worry about two things. Number one, the enforceability at ICANN, and two, the enforceability at the registry are both areas that I have grave concern over. Just to be clear, I don't actually disagree with the with the overall intention, I disagree with the suggested implementation.
Edmund.
Yeah, Edmund here. I think I sympathize and agree with Ram, and I just want to raise also alert that this IDN guidelines is covers IDN ccTLD well. Each IDN ccTLD, when they submit the application, agrees to abide by the IDN guidelines as they are changed in time. So if we have something in there that may conflict with somebody else's what they are doing already, we may run into trouble where this document itself become moot. I think that's the biggest worry Ram raised. So going back to the specific must that you suggested, Perhaps, Matt, you can walk us through a little bit more what exactly part you think should be a must, and we can add to that discussion a little bit more, just to clarify which part exactly you think should be a must.
Well, this is Mats again. Let me first comment on the status of the upcoming guidelines that we are about to propose. They will be binding for the new GTLDs, and if there is no must in the document, just suggestions, then they are not binding. Then they have no. There's that requires them to be enforced. So, and I think that ICANN leadership wants a document that points out the important areas that you must conform to. That's my picture, such as what is stated in the RFCs. Edmund, please.
Sorry, I just forgot to put my hand down, but I guess the just response to what you just said. I definitely I don't want to speak around, but we're not suggesting that there cannot be any must in the guidelines. Of course, there could be. That's why I was asking which exact part, just to clarify exact part you suggested to be a must. You mentioned about by saying must not allow any potential homographic issues or any potential homographic labels to be registered. That may be over. I think both Ram and I, my reaction is that's probably too much of a request. So we are. I'm asking you to maybe clarify exactly what you want for the must.
Okay. Yes, I would try to do that. My interpretation of Ram was that he also thinks that it's too much to have a must to conform to the RFC, say that you're not allowed to have a label with initial dash. And I think that is definitely something which should be a must. My suggestion when it comes to homographic confusion between scripts, I don't think that we should have a text saying that you must have prevention of any possible confusion between scripts, etc. There should be something that requires the register operator to create rules that prevent such confusion between labels, say Latin script labels and Cyrillic labels. I don't know if we should list these specific code points or not. I don't have a strong opinion on that right now. But I don't think that it's, I think that it's a must to consider that and prevent that. There are GTLDs that have no such rules because it is not required today. The exact writing we don't have today, but something that talks about this issue and it requires that the register operator mitigate the problem. Edwin.
I put my hand up because my audio cut in and out where it was kind of the most important part. Why don't I let Ram go first and probably I'll put together the pieces. I missed where you mentioned about what I missed the part where you said that so there are Cyrillic and Latin. What the registry must do. My apologies.
Yeah. I'll let Ram comment first, and then I will repeat.
Matt, go ahead and repeat. I'm happy to wait, and you know Edmund is in ahead of me, so I'm happy to wait.
Okay. If TLD has both a Latin script table and a Greek table. I think it's a must that you have some mechanisms to prevent the obvious homographic collisions between the two scripts. It's not limited to Latin and Cyrillic, Latin and Greek. There are more, but at least those. Edmund.
Yeah, I get that. I'm trying to think through what the implications may be. It seems like a useful thing. I'll come back. I did hear you this time. Sorry about the my audio.
Ram. Do you want to comment?
Yes, thank you. I still think that's too broad a specification, and I don't think that we are considering the various use cases that occur. You know, you're giving an example of, say, Latin and Greek, but I think we need much more work in this area before we come up with something so broad. I would be far more comfortable if there was specificity in the must. This is too generic a statement without sufficient analysis of the various script sets and to see if there are places where what appears to us as a homographic problem in that particular language community is actually a core requirement. I know that when Sarmad and I were working together on the Arabic script, in the Arabic script community, there were many, many, many cases where we had folks who said, oh, this is a homographic problem and it must never be allowed. And in reality, in the language, there was actually a requirement to allow it. So I caution against something so broad. I would be far more supportive of must language here if it was specific.
Please note that I've been talking about confusion between different IDN tables. That is something which is not used in the same label, but in different labels. To prevent the possibility of registering something like looks like Cox in Latin and in Greek and in Cyrillic under the same field.
Yeah, I understand that, Mats, but what I'm saying is that I certainly know and remember of several cases where such a requirement was actually necessary because of the way the tables had been built. There were some historical problems associated with it, where there were characters used in a particular language that belonged to two completely different tables, even though they in that community they were considered part of that same language or that same script. So that's why I'm advocating caution. And perhaps
that means that you're talking about cases where you can have script mixing. Is that so?
That's correct.
Yeah, but I'm not talking. Yes, but then we're talking about different things, because I'm talking about a situation where script mixing is not allowed. You have one table for Latin, and you have another table for Cyrillic, and you're not allowed to mix Latin and Cyrillic, but you are allowed to register strings that look the same.
Yeah,
one in Latin and one in Cyrillic.
Right, except we have existing cases of CCTLDs where they have a table, and the table includes Latin, Cyrillic, and a third set of characters, and they issue that as the set of characters that are allowed for that TLD. If I remember correctly, .de is a good example of that.
I don't know the details of .de. I don't think that they allow script mixing, but they might.
What I understand, this is going back to 2007 and 2008, when I spoke with the CEO of .de at that time, Sabina. What she was saying was their requirement was to allow all whatever was spoken in the country had to be allowed to be registered. Therefore, they created a table that was not purely just Latin or just Cyrillic, or just Arabic. So that's why I'm saying, you know, that's one example I know anecdotally. I don't know how many other things exist, and that's why I caution against a broad brushstroke. You know, you must not everywhere.
Well, we don't have the language yet, the text yet, and so that is, I mean, we have to make sure that the text is good. I mean, this is more like a question, can we have a must in the document or not? I felt that you said that we cannot have any must.
No. Let me clarify, Matt. Sorry to jump the queue, but let me clarify. I'm actually not saying we cannot have any musts. In fact, you know, I was on the very first IDN guidelines working group, and we came up with several musts. And like you said, Matt, they are binding, and we found a way to make them binding on at least GTLD registries. I'm actually advocating when we say must, we have to be extremely careful about what we're saying must for, and we should be as specific as possible, because a broad must causes both lots of compliance issues, but also causes lots of unintended consequences. So I'm saying must should be very specific.
Edmund.
Edmund here. On specific, your suggestion, I find a problem with between Latin and Greek or Latin and Cyrillic as well. because what you suggested may create a circular situation with the Greek letter N and V when you consider, especially consider capital case and lowercase, which means anybody who registered N in Latin can not register V in Latin, at the same time. That creates a big problem because all the registries would be non-compliant immediately. And Cyrillic, I think there's another a T and M maybe that has a similar situation whereby if what you said as far as I understand what you said, then even in Latin, let's say I choose Latin, I cannot register when somebody registered nnn.tle, nobody can register vvv.tle. That would be a big problem.
Well, if you say that that is for ASCII nnn.tld and vv.tld, no, that is not my intention. And I don't see that.
I understand you, that was not your intention, but I think Ram was saying that precisely when you put up MUS, these situation may manifest itself. We may be able to craft a way through Greek and Latin in a way that's out, but we need to consider all the different languages, and we might cut into these type of things. And I think we're both saying that we should be very cautious about this must here. But perhaps we will need to get to the actual wording before we have a more in-depth discussion. But I'm just bringing this up that these are situations that we may or may not be able to foresee.
Okay, time is past 1 o'clock. We have had a 1 hour meeting. Next meeting is in 2 weeks. We should try to decide when to have the face-to-face meeting at ICANN 55. Samad, can you write I don't remember the name of the tool. We'll see if Tuesday or Wednesday is the preferred day.
Right. So I think that currently what you are suggesting is that we try for Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, but not the early Wednesday morning session, but perhaps something before the IDN update session, I guess, so that it doesn't clash with the USC or IDN sessions. And if it's okay with everybody, I can put that in email as well. We can try for one of those two slots, and whatever slot eventually we get, we can share with you. Or do you want me to do a doodle poll and check with everybody else first, then based on feedback, pick one of Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning? How would you like me to proceed?
Yeah, I like to send out an email and ask how people see it. But I think that, if the first IDN meeting is at 9 o'clock, as you said, then we cannot have an IDN meeting, a group meeting before that, I guess. So we shouldn't collide.
Yes, that actually is not currently fixed. So we can actually, for example, have a 9 to 10:30 slot for this meeting, and then 10:30 to 12 o'clock slot for the IDN update. Back to back, that's also possible. But in any case, if you want, I can check on, I follow up on email and check with everybody on the list, and then based on responses, I'll just schedule accordingly between Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday morning.
Okay, thank you, Edmund. Did you want to say something before we close the meeting today?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you much for today, and talk to you on email and next time in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Bye.